if you have your smartphones, I'd encourage you to open them up and open your Bible app and look up 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Try to keep your Bible app open because I'm going to be referring to the passage quite a bit. And just want to encourage us, even in this picnic service, to keep looking into the scripture, looking into God's word as we have this time in his word together. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 2 to 3, and I'll be reading from the NIV this morning, New International Version. Title of the sermon is Lord of Hope, the Lord of Hope. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. It's a long word. Just put like one and then T-H-E-S-S and it should hopefully pop up automatically for you. Okay, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. And scripture says, we always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers. We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. This is God's word. All right. Well, it's so good to see you all here at Seeger Park. I think the last time we were all here was back in 2018, if I recall. I think our last in-person picnic was 2019. It was canceled last year, but in 2019, we were at DuPage River Park, I believe. So we haven't been to this venue in a while. And welcome and thanks to all of you who are joining us on our live video stream. As we've done in our previous Sunday morning picnics, today's message from me is going to be a lot shorter and more devotional in flavor, I'm sure, if none of you don't mind. Let's start with a question. You don't have to answer it out loud. All right, kids, this is what we call a rhetorical question. You answer it quietly in your own mind instead of shouting the answer out for everyone to hear, okay? Here's the rhetorical question. What is your favorite movie? What is your favorite movie? Now, I often see questions like that when there's like a survey to help us get to know each other better. And I think Facebook might have a little slot in your profile where you can list your favorite movie if you want. And I actually think that's a pretty tough question because your answer depends on how exactly you define that phrase, favorite movie. Is your favorite movie a film that you can watch over and over again and still like it? Because if that's how you define favorite movie, then my answer would probably be The Princess Bride. I can still enjoy that movie, even though I've probably seen it like 100 times now. But if your favorite movie is a film that affected you very deeply, then your answer might be different. Even if you saw that movie only once, it may have changed your view on a certain issue, or it may have even altered your general outlook on life. Those types of movies are out there, and they're not necessarily the ones that you'd enjoy seeing over and over again, because movies like that can often be intense. It can even be frightening in certain moments, but you can still call it your favorite because it affected you just that deeply. Now, if that's how we define favorite movie, then I'd probably include The Shawshank Redemption in that category. And I know it's a funny-sounding name, Shawshank. It's actually based off a book. This movie came out back in the mid-90s, in 1994 to be exact. And by the way, 94 was a great year for movies. That's the year when movies like Forrest Gump, Speed, Pulp Fiction, the original Lion King, and Dumb and Dumber came out. Now, I don't think I saw The Shawshank Redemption when it was first in the theaters. I caught it a bit later on, and I remember just being blown away when I saw it. Now, if you're not familiar with this film, the movie's about a man who's sent to jail for a lifetime sentence for a crime that he did not commit. And I just want to say for any of our parents here who haven't seen this movie yet, for whatever reason, okay, this movie is definitely not kid-friendly. Not kid-friendly. There are more than just a few frightening scenes in The Shawshank Redemption, but this movie affected me very deeply because its main message is really about hope. The main character of this movie, a guy named Andy, is somehow able to maintain hope even as he is stuck in that dark and depressing prison for a crime he didn't commit. And one of my favorite moments comes from a scene where he's having lunch, Andy's having lunch with some of his fellow inmates after he's been locked in solitary confinement for a week. And as they're talking, the topic of hope comes up between Andy and his best friend, a guy named Red, who's played by Morgan Freeman. And Andy tries to convince Red that hope is a good thing. He says, hope is the one thing that even the prison guards can't take away from you. And Red, when he hears that, gets angry. He tells Andy, let me tell you something, my friend. Hope is a dangerous thing. Hope can drive a man insane. Red is basically telling Andy there's no such thing as hope for men like them who are stuck in jail for the rest of their lives. And so it's dangerous to hope for something that's never going to happen. Hope is actually a very important concept in the Bible. In another famous verse, the Apostle Paul reminds the Corinthian church that the three greatest Christian virtues are faith, hope, and love. And we see these same three virtues mentioned again in the passage that I just read from 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. He says, we remember before God our Father, your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. I think it's interesting that Paul, 1 Corinthians, the virtues are listed as faith, hope, and love. But in our passage this morning, Paul kind of changes the order. It's faith, love, and hope. He saves hope for last. And I want to focus, I kind of want to camp on this third and final virtue of hope in our passage this morning. And I want to make just two observations. You still have your passages open, right? In your phones? All right. So observation number one is that hope inspires something within us. Hope inspires something within us. Actually, all three virtues, if you look carefully at this verse, are productive. They're active. Paul tells his fellow Christians, remember before God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. And when we look specifically at this virtue of hope, we see that hope is active because it helps us to endure. Paul talks about their endurance inspired by hope. Now, what is endurance? How would you define that? Well, my simple definition of endurance would be that endurance is the willingness and the ability to keep going even when it's hard. Is that definition okay? Seems okay to me. Endurance is the willingness and the ability to keep going even when it's hard, even when you want to quit. An athlete who's competing in a race endures because she's inspired by the hope that the finish line is not too far away. A student who's studying for finals keeps going because he's inspired by the hope that the last day of school is closer than ever. All of our educators here, you're all pressing on because you're inspired by the hope that the end of the school year is now just a few days away, not that anyone's counting. Hope inspires us to endure even when it's hard because we have something to look forward to. At this point, I think it's important for us to understand what Paul has in mind when he used the word hope in this verse. Because we can often think of hope as nothing more than a wish for something that may happen or may not happen. I really hope this virus goes away for good. I hope that I will never see another pandemic in my lifetime. I hope that things will get better at work. I hope that things will get better in our marriage. Okay, these things may happen or they may not happen. We don't know. We can only hope. But that's not what Paul has in mind when he uses the word hope in our verse and throughout the New Testament. Paul isn't just talking about a wish that may or may not come true. When Paul uses the word hope, he's describing a reality. He's describing a reality that's just waiting to be realized. It hasn't happened yet, but it will happen someday. That takes us to my second observation about the way hope is described in our passage. If you look again at your app, we see that hope isn't just active. Hope doesn't just inspire us to endure. Hope, according to Apostle Paul, is directly connected to Jesus Christ. I'm going to read verse 3 again. Verse 3, he says, we remember before God our God and Father, your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what specifically is it about Jesus Christ that gives Christians the hope to endure? Gordon Fee, a New Testament scholar, believes it's the hope of resurrection, the hope of future world where there will be no more suffering and no more pain and no more death or no more grief of any kind. And this future hope of a better world is possible only because Jesus himself won the victory over death when he rose again on the third day, on that first Easter morning. I'm going to read a brief excerpt from Gordon Fee's commentary on 1 and 2 Thessalonians. He writes, "What Christ began at his resurrection will be brought to ultimate consummation at his coming. One's hope rests secure in the risen Lord, the once crucified Messiah, Jesus of Nazareth. Hope, therefore, in Paul is a concept that has to do with an absolute certainty about a future based on Christ's resurrection, not a wishfulness about a less than sure tomorrow." Again, Paul isn't talking just about a wish for something that may or may not happen. That's not his idea of hope. Hope for Paul is describing a reality that's just waiting to be realized. Our hope is for a future in which everything that's sad will become untrue, as Pastor Tim Keller often likes to say. I know that often sounds like a fairy tale, but it's really based on something that has already happened in history. Jesus rose again. In his book called Reading While Black, Esau Macaulay, a New Testament scholar over at Wheaton College, talks about why this hope should be a source of comfort and endurance for especially Black Christians like him who struggle with anger. He calls it Black anger over the racist treatment that they've endured as a people for decades and indeed centuries. Listen carefully to what he says. He says, "I am convinced that the Messiah has defeated death. I can forgive my enemies because I believe the resurrection happened. Belief in the resurrection requires us to believe that nothing is impossible. If death gives way to the power of God, so does my hate. But more than that, resurrection is the final vindication of all Black hopes and dreams." Those are important words he uses there, hopes and dreams. He goes on and says, "If Black anger arises from the disregard of Black bodies and failure to see us as persons, then the resurrected Black and brown bodies are God's final affirmation of our value." I suspect many of us here who are from other minority backgrounds can relate in one way or another. Jesus' resurrection secures our own hope of resurrection. And it's also the down payment for the new and better world that's coming. Again, this isn't just fairy tale wishful thinking on our part. It's not just hoping for something that may or may not happen. This is a reality that's just waiting to be realized. That inspires us to endure, even when things are hard right now. I think this is what Paul means when he writes, "We remember your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, if you're at all like me, then it may have been hard to feel any real sense of hope these days. Maybe some of us have lost hope in our government leaders. Maybe some of us have lost hope in the church and its leaders. And to be completely honest, I can relate. Then again, as I stand here at this park on this beautiful spring morning, and as I see all of your faces, and as I think about all of you who are joining us online, I still feel hope. Even if it's by a thin thread. More importantly, I think we should still feel hope because our hope is ultimately anchored in the ground, in the teaching and the promises of the scriptures. We remember your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. If we forget everything else, my sisters and brothers, let's remember this historic fact that Jesus rose from the dead. Let's remember what that means for our own future as individuals, what it means for the church, and what it means for our whole world. Let's continue to endure by his grace as we hope. You know, near the end of the Shawshank Redemption, Red comes across a letter from his best friend, Andy. Now, you may remember that Red was the one who warned Andy that hope is a dangerous thing, that hope can drive a man insane. But near the end of the movie, he gives a narration of what he reads in Andy's letter. The letter says, "Remember, Red, hope is a good thing, maybe the best of things. And no good thing ever dies." To that, I simply say, amen. Let's pray. God, we thank you for this beautiful day. Thank you for this opportunity to have this time of worship and to hang out together in the park after not being together like this for well over a year. Thank you, Lord, for everyone who has joined us here and over YouTube. Thank you, Lord, for the hope that we have in our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that you'd help us to endure through all of the hardship, through all of the pain that we're experiencing personally, and also through the disappointment and maybe even the anger that we feel toward the church, toward our world, our broken and weary world. Help us to remember that our belief in the resurrection requires us to believe that nothing is impossible. If death gives way to the power of God, so can our hate, so can our disappointment, so can our anger, so can our despondency. Lord, we pray that you help us to enjoy the rest of our time today. For those of us who are here at the park, we thank you for the food that we're about to receive and for the hands that have prepared it. You have given us, Lord, more than we need or deserve. Thank you, Father, for being so good to us. We pray these things in Jesus' name, amen.